The Riverside Players, in conjunction with OtterTunes Internet Radio, are proud to present A Furry Christmas Carol.
Hello there.
Good evening. Merry Christmas Eve.
Merry Christmas. Do come in. Welcome to my burrow. What?
Thank you.
My goodness, but it is cold tonight. Come and warm yourself by the fire.
Oh my, yes. Just the thing. I do believe my fur is frozen.
Oh my. Look how much it has snowed. But then, snow has a way of actually raising one's spirits when it falls on Christmas Eve night, doesn't it? It makes it seem like everything will turn out all right.
Yes, but there are limits. Why are you chuckling?
I do beg your pardon. I just reminded myself of a story which my godfather used to tell me.
Do tell. Perfect night for a story, eh?
Why, certainly. I never get tired of it. Here, let me get you some refreshments while you listen. Some hot cider and tuna crackers, perhaps?
Lovely.
Yes, there you go. I'll just get comfortable. Ah, that's better. Now, would you fancy a blanket?
No, thank you. I'll just stay close to the fire.
Me? I always put a thick blanket over my tail and flippers on a chilly day like today. Oh, but I can see you're getting impatient.
Nonsense. Just eager.
Very well, very well. Sit back, and I'll tell you the tale of a dog named Ebenezer Scrooge. Now, the first thing you must understand is that Jacob Marley was dead. He had been dead for 7 years and was decomposing in his grave. This you must bear in mind, or nothing that follows will seem wonderful. Our tale begins in the office of Scrooge and Marley. Yes, Marley had been dead 7 years. I did say that. But Scrooge had nevertheless done business under both names for all this time. In the outer office sits an otter in a ragged coat. He's blowing on his paws, trying desperately to warm his fingers. Unaware of the watchful eyes of the German Shepherd in the next room, he stands up and walks slowly to the coal scuttle.
Cratchit!
Ah! Sir!
What are you doing, Cratchit?
I was just about to put some coal on the fire, Mr. Scrooge.
Come in here, Cratchit.
Yes, sir.
What is this?
A hat, sir.
And this?
A coat.
And this?
A scarf, sir.
These are garments, Mr. Cratchit. They were created for those times when an animal's fur is insufficient to keep him warm. Once purchased, they may be used indefinitely.
Yes, sir.
Coal burns, and it is expensive. There will be no more coal burned in this office today.
But Mr. Scrooge...
Is that understood?
Understood, Mr. Scrooge.
You may return to your work, Otter.
As Bob Cratchit returns to his desk, a Malamute in a top hat and long red coat enters. The Otter's face brightens immediately.
Merry Christmas, Mr. Cratchit.
Fred Hollywell! Merry Christmas, Master Fred!
And Uncle Scrooge. Merry Christmas to you, Uncle.
Bah! Humbug!
Christmas a humbug? Surely you don't mean that.
Surely I do. If I had my way, every idiot who goes about with Merry Christmas on his muzzle would be boiled in his own pudding and buried with a stake of holly through his heart.
What a thing to say.
But what good has it ever done me? Or you, for that matter? It's a time for finding oneself a day older and not an hour wealthier.
Oh, Uncle, there is more to life than wealth. There are a great many things in life which have done me good, from which I have made no financial gain, Christmas being among the greatest. So though I have never made a penny from it, I still say, God bless Christmas.
Huzzah! God bless Christmas!
Perhaps you would like to celebrate Christmas by becoming unemployed!
Temper, temper, Uncle Scrooge. You're going to scare away your best helper.
What's with you, Fred? Always laughing and wagging your tail. What reason have you to be so merry? You're poor enough.
Well then, what reason have you to be miserable? You're rich enough.
He's got you there, Mr. Scrooge. Working!
In any case, I've come to invite you to dine with myself and my wife tomorrow.
Why in the world did you marry that girl, Fred?
Why? Because I love her, Uncle.
Love? That may well be the only thing stupider than Christmas. And with a Fennec, no less. The girl looks like she can't decide whether to be a jackal or a rabbit.
Say what you will. I'm mad about her.
Aye, mad. I believe that. I'm told the girl was even poorer than you.
'Tis true. But we manage.
And at that moment, two gentlemen, a rat and a parakeet, came through the door.
Merry Christmas, gentlemen. May I help you?
We're looking for Mr. Scrooge and or Marley, please.
Mr. Marley has been dead these 7 years. I am Mr. Scrooge. What do you want?
Merry Christmas, Mr. Scrooge. I am Mr. Pinfeather, and this is Mr. Faust.
Good evening.
At this festive time of year, it seems fitting that we who have extra should provide for those less fortunate.
Less fortunate than whom?
Than ourselves. Many animals are in want of common necessities, such as cuttle bone,
litter boxes,
flea collars,
even kibble.
What? Are there no dog pounds?
Yes.
And the glue factories, are they still in operation?
They are. I wish I could say otherwise.
And the garbage dumps, have something happened to them?
Where are you going with this?
It's simply that, from what you said, I was afraid something had happened to stop these institutions from being useful.
Are you actually suggesting that civilized animals forage in the garbage dump?
It served your own species for centuries.
Well, I never.
And you're unlikely to do so in the future.
Many would rather die.
If they would rather die, then I suggest they do so and decrease the surplus population.
I say!
Gentlemen, I do not make merry myself at Christmas.
Very true.
Nor can I afford to make idle beasts merry.
Very untrue.
I believe my welcome, such as it is, may be wearing thin. So I shall make my donation to the poor. There you are.
Thank you, sir.
And be on my way. Merry Christmas.
Bah! What is it?
About that donation.
What can we put you down for?
Nothing.
You wish to remain anonymous?
I wish to be left alone. You ask me what I want, and that is my answer. I bid you good day.
Come, Mr. Pinfeather. I think we have wasted enough of Mr. Scrooge's time.
Good day!
Mr. Fuzz, I know it's not much, but I'd like to contribute a pair of pennies to the cause.
Bless you, Mr. Rotter.
As the rat and parakeet departed, a sparrow entered the office.
What do you want?
I'm Mr. Chippet, sir.
Mr. Chippet, my time is valuable. Either state your business, or else go take some lessons in elocution.
It's about my mortgage, sir. I didn't mean to miss any payments. I never did, sir. But it's not fair to you now, is it? But my wife, she's been so sick. Her lungs ain't right. I can't hardly tweet. And the doctor, he takes his share, doesn't he?
Your point, sir.
I want to make the payment, sir. And I will, if you'll just allow me some more time. I need to... That is...
Mr. Chippet, are you attempting to welch on our agreement?
Oh, no, Mr. Scrooge. I would never do that.
Mr. Chippet, did I ask you for more time when I lent you the money?
No, sir.
Then I will expect my birdhouse to be empty within 30 days. Good day.
Yes. You're right, of course. Merry Christmas.
Mr. Chippet, if there's anything Emily or I can do to help...
Thank you, but we'll be all right. I have a family that I can stay with. Well, there's a while anyway.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Cratchit, are those foreclosure notices ready to be mailed?
Mr. Scrooge, it's Christmas Eve.
I am painfully aware of that fact, Mr. Cratchit. I want those notices mailed right away.
But it's almost 5 o'clock. The post office will be closed by the time I arrive.
Very well. Mail them first thing tomorrow.
But tomorrow is Christmas.
You said that already.
The post office will be closed tomorrow. In fact, most every business will be closed tomorrow.
And I suppose you'll want the entire day off as well.
If it's quite convenient.
It is not convenient. If I dock you a day's pay, I'd wager you think yourself ill-used.
Sir?
Fine. Take the day off. But be here all the earlier the next morning.
Thank you, sir. And merry... happy holidays.
Bah. Don't forget to put the fire out before you leave.
Merry Christmas, sir.
What do you think you're doing, begging on this corner, you little weasel? Be off with you.
I'm not a weasel, sir. I'm an otter.
Doesn't excuse your begging.
I'm not begging, sir. I'm waiting for my father.
You're Bob Cratchit's boy, are you?
Yes, sir. They call me Tiny Tim.
It's easy to see why. Scrawny, lame little thing you are. Your father has been wasting my money overfeeding you, that's for sure. He's closing up now. Go wait inside.
Thank you, sir.
Not doing it for you. I just don't want you scaring clients away, wretched little thing.
I can tell you with a certainty that Bob Cratchit's happiness far outweighed Scrooge's grumpiness. He and his son went to the evening church service that night, and on the way home slid down a steep snowy hill on their bellies 10 times in honour of it being Christmas Eve. Scrooge, on the other hand, had a bowl of dry dog food in his usual melancholy little tavern, failing to enjoy a single morsel. Then he made his way home to his darkened house. But as he walked along, he began to get an uneasy feeling, as if he were being watched.
Was he?
Oh, indeed. But he wasn't quite sure of that fact until he arrived at the door of his house.
Why? What happened then?
Patience. I'm getting to that.
My apologies. I'll be quiet.
As Scrooge reached into his pocket for the door key, the knocker transformed. The metal seemed to melt and flow into the face of a badger. A badger Scrooge instantly recognized as Jacob Marley.
Scrooge!
What the... Goodness me, I could have sworn that. My eyes must be playing tricks on me.
Scrooge didn't normally light his house at night. Darkness was cheap, and Scrooge liked cheap. But the incident with the door knocker had left him spooked. To reassure himself that everything was in order, Scrooge was forced to light the lamps to conduct a proper search of the premises. Everything seemed all right, until he saw a shadow on his bedroom wall. Without hesitation, Scrooge leapt upon the intruder, only to discover...
Oh my! It's only the coat rack! And this is my best dressing gown! Bah! I've got torn a hole in the side. Ebenezer, you old fool, get a hold of yourself.
Satisfied that no one was in the house, Scrooge sat down in his bedchamber to eat his customary tasteless biscuit before bed. That was when it happened.
What's that?
Scrooge.
Who's there?
Scrooge.
Who's there? I'm warning you, I'm a trained attack dog.
Scrooge.
You just walked through a closed door. How did you... Oh, my. Jacob. Jacob Marley?
Yes. In life, I was your partner, Jacob Marley.
No. No, this can't be real. You're dead. You died 7 years ago.
I did.
What do you want with me?
Much.
You look pretty good for a
ghost.
Yes, that.
This mission of mine is a relief.
You don't mean...
I do. Fire, sulfur, it's all very real. And a weight so great, it steals the breath from your chest.
No. No, no, it can't be real, it can't. I won't believe it.
Why do you doubt your senses? You see me, you hear my voice, you can smell the tinge of sulfur on
No, I'm hallucinating, that's what it is. There must have been something spoiled in my kibble. Some tainted cornmeal or vegetable protein. I know. Beef tainted by mad cow disease.
Dog of the worldly mind, do you believe in me or not?
I do, I really do, I must. Jacob, why do you come to me?
Do you know what I see as I lay in my cell day after day, year after year?
Little blue demons?
I see my failings, Ebenezer. I see those moments when I could have made a difference. Sorrows which now that I am dead I cannot share, but on earth might have shared and turned to happiness.
And those chains?
These are the chains I forged in life, Ebenezer. I forged them of my own free will. I made them link by link and yard by yard. Made them from cash boxes and ledger books and safes.
You always were an industrious piece of business.
Business! My fellow beast was my business. Charity, mercy, benevolence, forgiveness. These were all my business. The dealings of my trade were but a drop in the comprehensive ocean of my business. Yet in my life, my soul never ventured beyond the confines of our money-changing hole.
Oh, Jacob!
You asked me why I have come. It is because a boon has been granted me. Day after day, I must witness the opportunities for mercy I can no longer share. Yet this one thing I have been allowed. I have been permitted to come here to warn you.
Warn me? What?
Don't you see it, Ebenezer? You wear a chain just like mine.
I see no chain.
Mine were invisible until the day of my death. But I should have known they were there because of the weight that constantly dragged upon my heart. Your chain was as large and heavy as mine 7 years ago, but you have labored greatly on it since, and it is a ponderous chain.
Oh, Jacob! Speak comfort to me.
Comfort? I have none to give. But there is still a chance for you, Ebenezer.
There is?
Tonight, you will be visited by three spirits.
Is that the chance you speak of?
It is.
I'd rather not, if it's all the same.
Scrooge, you ungrateful cur! Don't you dare deny me this one chance to do someone some good!
I'm sorry!
Oh, Ebenezer, without the help of the spirits, you cannot hope to avoid my fate. Please, heed what they have to say. Do it for me.
Do I have a choice?
Not really.
Well, I suppose that's that then.
Expect the first when the bell tolls one.
The first? How many are there?
Expect the second when the bell tolls two.
Couldn't I meet them all at once and get it over with?
The third, more mercurial, shall appear in his own good time.
Right. One, two, and whenever.
My mission is complete. I must leave you now.
Must you? Must you really?
Do not let me have wasted my one chance to make a difference, Scrooge. You can still be saved.
As you can imagine, Scrooge had a very difficult time getting to sleep that night.
I should think so. An experience like that shakes a beast up.
So for hours, Scrooge lay upon his bed, waiting for the spirit.
1 o'clock. 1 o'clock. It's time. Time for the first spirit. Hello? Is anyone there? Anybody? I should have known. It was all a dream. It was... Oh! Who's there?
Pull back your bed curtains and look upon me, Ebenezer.
Oh my.
Scrooge had never seen the like of her. She was equine, yet in her face he could see familiar features from his past, as if she were dozens of animals rolled up into one. A light shone around her form. A gauzy dress flowed around her, though there was no breeze. But the most remarkable thing about her was the enormous pair of white wings on her back.
Was she a Pegasus?
A Pegasus? No, silly. An angel. I mean, she's a good spirit, right? What is a good spirit?
An angel.
Right. So anyway, there she was, bright as day, in Scrooge's bedroom.
Are you the spirit whose coming was foretold?
I am. I am Croia, the spirit of Christmas past.
Long past?
On occasion. But in this case, your past.
You're awfully bright. Your light hurts my eyes. Could you, perhaps, turn it down a bit?
You have dwelt in darkness too long, Ebenezer. Come, we have much to see.
Where are you going? What? I can't follow you out the window.
Why not?
I'm mortal. I'll fall and break my neck. Well, you think that's funny, do you?
Come, Scrooge. Simply touch my sleeve, and you shall be upheld.
Upheld, eh?
Yes. In more than just this.
All right, then. Whoa!
Does this excite you?
We're flying! Oh, my goodness, we're flying! Would you look at this? All the houses down there! This is incredible!
Brace yourself.
For what? What are you... Oh, it's so bright! What happened?
Welcome to the past, Scrooge. And to Christmas morning.
Where are we?
Do you not recognize this place?
Why, yes. Yes, I remember this place. I could navigate this place blindfolded. It's my old school. Look, there's Jimmy the Hedgehog, and Susie Ferret, and Billy the Cat. Billy, hello!
They can neither hear you nor see you, Ebenezer.
Why not?
These are but the shadows of things that have been, like pictures in a history book.
Well, that's really great. Take a guy into the past and don't let him talk to anyone. What's so funny?
King Swallow said the same thing, almost word for word.
Done this before, have you?
Every year since the second.
Why the second?
You can't have a Christmas past on the first Christmas, can you? That year, I was assigned to confirm prophecy. But we're not here to talk about me. This is about you. Do you recognize the puppy sitting at the desk there?
Recognize him? Why, that's me.
Odd that you should be here on Christmas morning.
Yes. All the other children are going home to their families.
But not you.
Well, I never really wanted to.
Why not?
I never got along with my father. He hated me. Blamed me for my mother's death.
She died in childbirth.
Yes. She had two puppies, my sister Fran and myself. I was the last. So instead of going home, I preferred to stay here at the old school. For me, Christmas was a time to get some extra work done.
How lonely it was for you.
Lonely? Pshaw! I had my books to keep me company.
But books aren't real friends.
What? Jack the Giant Slayer, not real. St. George the Dragon, not real. And that story about the big bad wolf that turned good... Why are you smiling?
Modesty forbids, my dear dog.
I had company enough.
Let us see another Christmas in this place.
What's the point? They were all pretty much the same.
But they did see other Christmases. As Scrooge and Croyer watched, the years spun by, doing their terrible dance. The schoolhouse decayed before their eyes, and before he knew it, Scrooge had watched himself grow into an adult dog. Then...
Ebenezer?
Fran? Fran!
Oh, Ebenezer, look at you. So grown up now.
Look at me. Look at you. Your fur and your nose and your whiskers. You're like incredible, sister.
Oh, Ebenezer, it has been a very long time, hasn't it?
What brings you here, Fran?
You're coming home, Ebenezer.
What? Home?
Yes, this very day.
Fran, is this a joke? Because if it is, it's
no
not
joke,
really...
Ebenezer. Father has become so much kinder and gentler than he used to be. One day, he was in such a good temperament that I was not afraid to ask him if he might come home, and he said yes.
Oh, Fran, whatever would I do without you?
What are big sisters for?
You've always looked out for me. I sometimes think you're the only one who's ever loved me.
And I'll always love you, brother. Even when no one else does.
Then you must live forever, Fran. You must live forever so that I'll never be alone. Promise me you'll live forever.
I promise. Now come on, Father is waiting.
I wonder what that was like.
Oh, Scrooge was excited. He thought his father had finally forgiven him. And yet...
Father!
Hold it there, boy. Let me look at you. Looks like they may have been overfeeding you.
Well, perhaps I could have been exercising a bit more.
You'll have a chance to do that. I've arranged for you to begin working at Fezziwig's textile factory the day after Christmas.
So soon? But Father, I had hoped...
I think 3 days together is quite enough. Don't you agree, Ebenezer?
Yes, sir.
Things never did improve between us. And Fran died only a few years later.
She had a son.
Yes. She married a wolf for something named Hollywell. Had a nephew, Fred. He died in childbirth.
As did your mother.
What are you implying?
Nothing. He looks very much like her, you know.
Does he? I hadn't noticed.
Come, Scrooge. There is more to see.
The next place Scrooge found himself was Fezziwig's textile factory. In the door stood an old fat anteater.
The snow is falling and the lamplighters are plying their trade. It's Christmas Eve for certain. Come, everyone. Let's get those books and things put away. The time for work is over. You too, Master Scrooge. There will be time enough for work when Christmas is done. Come, we have a party to throw.
Is this place familiar to you?
Is it ever? This is old Fezziwig's. And look, there's Fezziwig himself. Oh, what an employer he was. As hard and ruthless as a rose petal. And his Christmas parties were the stuff of legend.
Were they really?
Well, he certainly knew how to encourage us employees to have a good time. He even got me to try chocolate-covered ants, of all things. Oh, the good times we had.
And what did he do to earn your praise? Serve you ants? Dance like a mud skipper? Spend a few pounds?
Oh, it wasn't the money. Fezziwig had the power to make our work heavy or light with just a few words. Why, he...
What is it?
Nothing.
Something, I think.
Just thinking that I should like to have a few words with my own clerk.
Watch. Here comes an important moment.
Mr. Fezziwig?
Yes, Master Scrooge?
I've just been going over the expenses. Do you know how much this Christmas party is costing?
Dear Master Scrooge, now is not the time to worry about money. Put away those books right now. Loosen up and have some fun. That's an order, Ebenezer.
Yes, sir.
Master Scrooge, have you tried these delicious chocolate-covered ants?
I'm really not an insectivore, Mr. Fezziwig. I'm really more of a dry kibble sort of dog.
Oh, don't be scared, Master Scrooge. They won't bite you. At least, not anymore.
All right. So, these are actually rather good. Yes, I...
Oh! Water! Water! Yeah.
I should have warned you. Those things can sneak up on you. The trick is not to chew them too much.
That Sheltie. Why? It's...
Master Scrooge, have you met Miss Bell? Bell, this is my clerk, Ebenezer Scrooge.
Ebenezer, what a lovely name.
It means Rock of Salvation.
Oh yes, like in the song. Here I raise my Ebenezer.
Quite.
My name means...
Beauty. And it's appropriate.
Why, thank you.
Oh, go get some punch before you embarrass yourself to death.
Would you like some punch, Bill?
Oh yes, please.
I thought you said they couldn't hear us.
Coincidence, I assure you.
I think she fancies you, my boy.
You really think so?
Take my advice, Ebenezer. Don't let her get away from you. Life is so much the sweeter with the right woman by your side to go through it with you.
I dare say you're proof of that truism, Mr. Fezziwig.
No arguing that, my boy. I, my fine fairy female, has enabled me to weather the stings and bites of life with a smile on my trunk. Oh, what a lucky beast I am.
You thought to take your employer's advice, didn't you?
Indeed I did.
Yet your plans went awry. Let us see another Christmas.
What? Oh no, I know what you're thinking. Anything but that one.
Yes, this one. Look, there sits Belle upon a park bench, waiting for you.
Please, I beg of you, do not show me this day.
This is for your own welfare, Ebenezer.
My welfare? I can think of no better welfare than a night of uninterrupted sleep.
Your reclamation, then. Look, here you are, coming up the path.
Belle! Hello, Belle.
I was beginning to wonder if you were coming at all.
The meeting ran long. I could not get away.
I see.
Why are you so sad, Belle? Surely I'm not that tardy.
It's not that. It's just...
Just what?
Ebenezer, I fear that an idol has replaced me in your heart.
Oh, what idol could replace you?
A golden one. And I've seen the look in your eye when it comes to matters of money. And you have put off our marriage another year.
Business continues to be poor.
But you've made partner in your firm. Isn't that enough?
I'm doing this for you, Belle. We need a solid financial base if we're to make it.
It was for me once.
What do you mean, was?
Ebenezer, if you were to meet me today, would you still seek my paw in marriage?
Do you think I would not?
Oh, Ebenezer, what a safe and terrible thing you say.
No, don't do it.
Our promise is an old one, made when we were both poor and content to be so.
Say something, Scrooge, you fool!
And so I release you from your promise, Ebenezer. And that with a full heart. Goodbye, Ebenezer. May you be happy in the life you've chosen.
Scrooge, you stupid mutt! Don't just stand there with your tongue hanging! Go after her! Go after her! Go after her!
Why didn't you go after her?
I almost did.
Almost carries no weight.
Still, what's done is done. One cannot change the past. I know. I just tried.
Have you ever wondered what became of her?
Of course I have.
Come. I have one thing yet to show you.
I think I've had enough.
One last Christmas yet. Come, Ebenezer.
The last place the spirit took Scrooge was a stately home on the edge of town. Five puppies were playing in the snow as a carriage drove up and parked in front. The pups rushed to meet the tall, handsome beagle who stepped out of the cab.
Presents on Christmas morning, as usual.
Welcome home, darling.
Is that really Belle? She looks...
You look gorgeous, my dear.
I was going to say young.
How was work today?
Very pleasant indeed. But I saw something today you might find interesting.
Oh?
An old friend of yours.
Who?
Guess.
Oh, I don't know. Ebenezer Scrooge?
Scrooge it was. He was sitting at his desk all alone. His partner lies on the edge of death, I hear, yet even death couldn't tear him away from his work.
Poor Scrooge. I feel so sorry for him.
I wager you're glad you didn't marry him.
I have a wonderful husband. There's no need to think about what might have been.
What beautiful puppies she has.
And they might have been mine, yes. The same thought had occurred to me. I know what you're trying to do, but let me tell you, I am happy in the life I've chosen. I've committed my life to the pursuit of success, and I have accomplished my goals. I am a self-made dog, in charge of my own destiny. I have all I've ever wanted.
Dear Ebenezer, what is plain to me is that you do not know who you are. You do not know what you want. And most of all, you do not know what is going on around you.
Enough! I have had enough! Leave me! I don't wish to see any more of this!
These things are but shadows of the past. That they are what they are, do not blame me.
I said leave me! What the... I'm back in my bedroom. It was all a dream. Yes, that's what it was. It was a dream.
But Scrooge knew full well that it was not a dream, and as he lay on his bed, all he could do was stare at the clock and wait for the second ghost.
Oh my, this is indeed an exciting story. I say, might I have a little more cider?
Certainly, friend. Here you go. Now, where was I?
The second ghost.
Ah, yes. Scrooge stared at the clock until it struck two.
Well, what happened?
Nothing.
Nothing?
Nothing. And Scrooge was prepared for anything. Nothing from a baby to a rhinoceros would have alarmed him now. But now that he was prepared for anything, he found that he was not at all prepared for nothing. Then, quite suddenly, a light shone from under the door. Cautiously, Scrooge went to investigate. What he saw upon opening the door was a feast unlike any he'd ever witnessed before. There was smoked salmon, pies sweet and savoury, enormous fruit, lobsters and crab, pastries of every sort, wine and cheese, and at the far end of the room, sitting on a throne which looked to be made of the feast itself, was a reindeer.
A reindeer?
No ordinary reindeer, mind you. He was dressed in a furred robe of scarlet. In one hoof, he held a silver torch. His demeanour, though he was smiling, was royal, like a benevolent king. And when he shifted, Scrooge could swear he saw a pair of white wings upon the deer's back.
Come in and know me better, dog.
I beg your pardon, but who are you?
I am Tempest, the spirit of Christmas Present.
Christmas presents?
Present. My area is the here and now.
Are there any more at home like you?
Yes, and no. As my thoughts are focused on the present, I am born anew each year.
And what is all this?
It is the Christmas feast, Ebenezer. I am Tempest, the spirit of Christmas present. Come in and know me better, dog.
You said that already.
Did I? Well, you know, my area of expertise is the here and now. Come in and know me better, dog.
You seem to be a little absent-minded, spirit.
No, no, I am a large absent-minded spirit. Try some plum pudding, Ebenezer. Or better yet, some of this delicious peppermint tea.
I am not accustomed to such fare, spirit.
Ah, I have just the thing. Drink this.
What is it?
It is the milk of mortal kindness.
I'd really rather...
Drink it!
Yes, sir. Oh, I say, this is quite good.
It is, isn't it?
May I have some more?
Let me ask you this, Scrooge. How many have come to you seeking the milk of kindness and received none?
I...
Here, of course you may have some more.
How delightful.
Life is full of delights, Scrooge. If you know where to look for them. Why is your tail drooping?
No offense, spirit, but I do not believe that life has any pleasures for me.
What? Life hold no pleasures? Where have you been hiding your head, Scrooge?
Whatever do you mean?
I think you must have been going through life with your eyes closed, Ebenezer. Here, try some of this. It's the milk of mortal kindness.
If you insist.
I bet you've never tasted anything like that before.
Indeed, I have not.
I could have sworn this pitcher was fuller. Oh well. The wonderful thing about kindness is that the vessels always refill themselves.
Pity it's so seasonal.
Seasonal? I assure you that while I appear more prominently and solidly on this day, we spirits of Christmas live 365 days a year. So it is also with the Lamb born in Bethlehem. He lives in the hearts of his creatures year-round, not just one. You have chosen not to seek him in your heart. Therefore, you will come with me and seek him in the hearts of beasts of goodwill.
Could I have some more?
There will be plenty of time for that. Right now, we have places to go.
Places? What sort of places?
Come, take hold of my torch.
Scrooge did as he was bid, a little less hesitantly than he had done with Christmas past. In a twinkling, he found himself outside in the open-air market.
Welcome, Scrooge, to Christmas Day.
Oh, my.
What is it?
I'm still in my dressing gown.
Relax, Ebenezer. As with my colleague, we shall be invisible, inaudible, and intangible.
And unsmellable?
Ha! Yes, and unsmellable. Oh, you were serious.
I am a dog.
Indeed. And what does your sharp canine nose detect today?
A great many fine meats are being bought and sold. There certainly is a lot of commerce being conducted today. Our port business is shut down for Christmas.
Commerce? Is that all you smell?
What do you smell then?
I see, hear, and smell people of all shapes and sizes preparing to have a wonderful time this Christmas morning. They are not merely spending money, but seeking to bring happiness to their family and friends. Speaking of which... Ah, yes. This way. Follow me.
What's this?
Don't you recognize your own nephew's home?
Fred, he lives here. Funny, I thought he was poorer than this. So where is he?
In there. Come.
How about a game, Fred?
Yes, we must have a game at Christmas.
Do people play games at Christmas?
Oh, I do love games.
Certainly. Do you all know similes?
How do you play that one?
I shall throw out the beginning of a well-known simile. Each person shall have 5 seconds to complete the simile. Otherwise, they are out and must stand behind their chair.
Go on, then.
Very well. We'll start with you, Mouse, as you are so keen. Quick as...
A wink.
Very good. Widow Skink, as big as...
Big as life.
Excellent. Mr. Longear, black as...
An olive.
No, time's almost up.
Black as coffee.
Black as pitch.
No, Mr. Longear, black as pitch. I'm afraid you must stand behind your chair.
It's a fair cop.
I said pitch. You heard me get it right, didn't you?
Janet, tight as...
Tight as...
Better hurry.
Tight as your Uncle Scrooge's purse strings.
I say...
No, no. Oh, dear Janet. Tight as a drum.
Suppose I'll overlook the laughter at my expense. The view of gaiety of the evening.
It's a good thing your uncle can't hear you.
Well, it isn't as if it isn't true. He's a wrenching, grasping, scraping, clutching, covetous old sinner if ever there was one.
Janet!
Every year we invite him to Christmas dinner, and every year he says the same thing. Christmas? Bah! Humbug!
Well, I, for one, feel sorry for him.
You do?
Very much so. Uncle Scrooge has taken it upon himself to dislike us. Yet who suffers the most from his ill will? Himself, always.
I...
What harm has he brought us? None. Yet he misses out on a fine meal and some grand times which would have cost him nothing.
Fred, I...
And so I will continue to invite him every year.
And every year he'll say...
Christmas! Are we done here?
Yes.
I've never been in this part of town. How dirty it is. Where are we?
This is it. We are at the home of Bob Cratchit.
We are. This is Bob Cratchit's house.
Who told you that?
You did.
Oh, well, I'm usually trustworthy.
Keep turning the spit, Peter. That's the secret of a properly roasted carp.
It smells so good, Mother. How are the chestnuts coming?
Almost done! Look, here come Father and Tiny Tim.
Merry Christmas, my dear kids.
Daddy! Easy, children. Don't smother your father. Bettina, Belinda, would you set the table, please?
Come on, let's use the good dishes.
We only have one set.
Then it'll be easy to tell which are the good ones.
How was Tim in church, darling?
Oh, as good as gold and better. He never ceases to amaze me, that boy. Do you know, he said the most interesting thing to me while we were in church. He said he hoped other beasts took note of his lame paws, because it might be pleasant for them to remember on Christmas Day who it was who made lame creatures walk and blind beasts see.
What is he talking about?
Ask me again later.
I say, where is Martha?
Oh, she's not coming.
Not coming? On Christmas?
Busy, I'm afraid. She has a lodge to take care of since she married that handsome beaver.
Oh. Oh, well then.
Oh, I can't stand it. Here I am, Father. And Stephen, too.
We wanted to surprise you. Merry Christmas, Father-in-law.
Oh, no need for formality, Stephen. You've been part of the family for a year now.
Right. Dad, I'd have been swatted with a newspaper if I called my father Dad.
You'll find this a very different sort of family from what you knew as a lad.
Father, look at all the wonderful food. There's carp and seaweed and clams.
Oh, Tim, you've gone and gotten yourself all excited. Sit down now and rest.
What's wrong with that boy? Is he ill?
He is. There's an infection in his kidneys which is poisoning his blood.
But that's treatable.
Not on Bob's salary.
Such a meager feast, especially for a family of otters.
But very much appreciated.
I hadn't realized what a family he had to provide for. I pay him so little.
Peter, I have wonderful news. I spoke with Fred Hollywell today. He's my employer's nephew, you see. Anyway, he has an opening for an apprentice at his firm, and he'd like you to fill it.
Me? Really? Will I have to live there?
Only if you wish. You're welcome here at home any time, Peter.
Then I shall be happy to take the job. I'll finally be able to help out with the bills.
Indeed you shall, my son.
Me too, someday.
For certain.
Dinner is ready. Everyone come sit down. Bettina, nose off the table, darling.
Our dear Lord in heaven, we give you thanks for this bountiful repast we are about to receive. Thank you for each one who is gathered around this table, and for the opportunities we have to work and support one another. Bless this food to our bodies, and bless the loving paws that prepared it. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I'll have to check my records, but I think Bob may be due for a raise.
Maybe?
Probably.
Maybe? Probably?
All right, definitely! What's going to happen to Tiny Tim's spirit?
That is the future. My realm is the present.
Please, you must be able to tell me something.
I see an empty chair and a crutch without an owner, carefully preserved. If these shadows remain unaltered, none other of my incarnations shall find him here.
No.
But then if he is to die, he'd better do it and decrease the surplus population.
How cruelly you use my words against me.
Yes, perhaps in the future you will hold your tongue until you have seen who the surplus population is and where it is. For it may well be that in the sight of heaven, you are more worthless and less fit to live than millions like this poor man's child.
Mr. Scrooge.
Bob.
I propose a toast to Mr. Ebenezer Scrooge, the founder of our feast. Emily?
The founder of our feast, indeed. That dog doesn't pay you nearly what you're worth to him.
My dear, it's Christmas.
And it should be Christmas when one drinks the health to such a mean, stingy, odious canine. Why, I wish he were here. I'd give him a piece of my mind to feast upon and hope he choked on it.
I love the children.
Oh, very well. I'll drink his health for your sake and because it's Christmas, but not for his.
He's right, you know. My head for business has furnished Bob with employment.
After that, you still see yourself as generous and benevolent?
Truthfully, no.
Ah, now we're getting somewhere.
But one must speak up for oneself, mustn't one?
Oh, yes. One must speak up for oneself.
Please take me home.
Oh, no. There is much more to see.
For hours, Scrooge traveled with the spirit. They visited the poor and homeless. Beneath a bridge, they found a family of cats eating raw potatoes to survive. Tempest lowered his torch over the potatoes, pouring flame upon them as if it were water. Suddenly, the mood changed. The family seemed glad of their tiny feast. They traveled to many lands, perhaps even across the world. Everywhere he went, the spirit poured fire from his torch upon those he visited and their possessions. He poured his flame upon the sick, and they were comforted. Upon those far away from home, and they no longer felt lonely. On the sorrowing, and they were made glad. Then finally...
What is this? Who are these sheep, sheepdogs, and camels? Why is that lamb lying outside in the hay in weather like this? I guess they were poor, but those camels do not by any means seem poor.
You ask me who it is that made the lame beggar walk, blind beast see. This is a live nativity. It is a depiction of the birth of the one I serve.
What, the lamb? He made blind creatures see.
And more. He descended from heaven and became a lamb so that he could teach those who dwell upon the earth about love and kindness. He lived and died to reconcile sinners like yourself to their Maker.
Died, you say?
Died and conquered death. The lamb gave himself to give the gift of life to whoever would accept it. Even hard-hearted creatures like you.
I had no idea. Where are they going?
They can't stay out in the cold forever. It is almost midnight. They need to go home. And so must I.
What? Now?
My time grows very short.
You can't leave me here. It's cold, and I didn't know this place. Please don't leave me alone.
I must. Goodbye, Scrooge.
Have you nothing else to show me?
There is one thing. But you won't like it.
Anything's better than being left out here alone.
Then look upon these.
Hey! What are those creatures?
These are your children, Scrooge.
But I have no children. And they're not even dogs. They're a toad and a snake. Or something like them.
These spirits were called into the world by you and those like you. The toad is ignorance. The snake is want. Beware them both, Ebenezer. But most of all, beware the toad, for he shall be your undoing.
Take them away. I do not wish to look at them.
I thought as much. There. They are hidden. But they live. They cling to me for comfort, you see.
Have they no other refuge?
Are there no dogs? Are there no garbage dogs?
Wait! I beg of you, do not leave me here! Please! Come back! It's cold, and I'm tired, and I don't know my way. Spill it! Oh, Ebenezer, you old fool. What have you gotten yourself into?
I say, that doesn't sound cricket. Just leaving him like that. I mean, just as he was learning his lesson?
Oh, the spirit of Christmas present left, but that doesn't mean that Scrooge's Odyssey was by any means finished. He was left to think things over for a few minutes, when a dark hooded figure came gliding toward him upon a carpet of mist.
Oh my.
This creature was very different from the other two. What Scrooge could see, its hands, the tip of its nose, and the end of its tail, was skeletal. Bony plates along its back lifted the robe in a menacing arc. It looked like the remains of a dragon, but far more terrible.
Oh, spirit, I fear you more than any other. Are you the spirit whose coming was foretold? I... What?
I am Mercor, spirit of Christmas yet to come.
I confess I am sore afraid. But I know that what you have planned is for my own benefit. And so I am prepared to follow you and to learn. Lead on, spirit.
Follow.
I don't know much about it either way. I only know he's dead.
I have to wonder what he did with all that money.
I only know he didn't give it to me.
Anyone going to the funeral?
Can't say it's bound to be much of one. I can't think of a single animal who'd go.
I might go, if lunch is provided.
Yes, I would have to insist on being fed for the time I'll have wasted.
Yes, well, I have to get over to Hollywell's before they close up for Christmas. So I shall bid both of you good day.
Yes. Good day to you, gentlemen.
Good day and Merry Christmas.
Why was I privy to that conversation, Spirit? What possible relevance can it have for me?
Follow.
What? Where are we now? Why, this is... Oh. Who is that? Or was that on the bed?
thought I recognized this place, but I was wrong.
Look.
No. No, I shan't look upon him. I cannot pull the sheet back from his face. You cannot make me do this.
Who was it, then?
Patience, my friend. The spirit didn't force Scrooge to look at the dead man. Instead, he took him to another part of town.
Where is this? What a sordid place. What? Why, I have no business in there. All right, I'm going. My, but you're devilishly hard to talk with.
Well now, what have we here? The laundress, the maid, and the undertaker all here at once. Freshly arrived from the House of Sadness.
Said he didn't die years ago, the Almighty.
So what have you got for old Joe, eh? What have you got for me to remember him by?
I'll go fast.
Not ready shy about it, are you, love?
Everyone has a right to take care of himself.
Goodness knows he always did. Ha!
I have his collar buttons, watch, and spectacles.
Goodness me. You wasn't born a vulture for nothing, Mr. Undertaker.
Who is the worse for the loss of a few things? Not a dead beast, to be certain.
If he wanted to keep him, he should have been a bit more natural-like in his lifetime.
If he had been, he would have had somebody to be there with him when he was struck with death, instead of laying there, all alone, by himself.
There you are. Watch, fob, collar buttons, pencil case, spectacles.
Those are my things. I'll have that bird before a magistrate.
8 shillings. And not a penny more.
And it's no wonder you were born a toad.
Toads ain't born, you nit. They grows from fishes. Here to open my bundle.
Tadpoles, you silly ferret, not fish. Bed curtains. With the ring still attached. Towels and washcloths. And I see you managed to nick some of the silver as well. All right, then. 17 and 6.
You're hard toad, Joe, and no mistake.
I always give too much to the females. That's how I ruin myself.
I was mistaken. Those are not my things. They are similar, yes, but not mine.
Go on, Joe. Open mine. Now.
His clothes? He didn't die of anything catching, did he?
I'm not so fond of him as I'd hang about if he did.
They're still warm. I don't pay extra for the warmth.
You should. It's the only warmth he ever had.
There must be someone who feels some remorse at this man's death. Please, spirit, show me some tenderness, some depth of feeling, or I shall be haunted by that terrible conversation forever. Oh, Bob Cratchit's house, a place of mirth and love. Oh, thank you for bringing me here, spirit. Thank you. It's quiet. Why is it so quiet?
Are you all right, Mother?
I'm fine, Bettina. It's simply that this color hurts my eyes, makes them weak. I wouldn't want to show weak eyes to your father when he comes home. There. That's better.
It must be nearly his time.
Past it, rather. I think he's walked a bit slower these past few evenings.
I've seen him walk very fast indeed with Tiny Tim on his shoulders.
As have I. He was so light. No trouble to carry.
Here he is.
Hello, children.
Welcome home, Bob. How was it?
Oh, it would have done you good to see it, Emily. It's so green and peaceful, and he can watch... I mean, there's a wonderful view of the river.
He always did like to watch the ducks on the river.
Oh, guess who I met on the way home today?
Who?
Peter's boss, Fred Hollywell. He noticed that I looked sad and asked what was wrong, so I told him. He said he was sorry and if there's anything he could do.
Oh, Father, please sorry. Don't cry.
I'm sorry, son. I'm sorry, son. You're right, of course. Life is made up of meetings and partings. That's the way of it. We've just experienced the first parting among us, and it's a sorrowful thing, to be sure. But I still have all of you. Peter, Bettina, Belinda, Martha, Stephen, Emily. I am a lucky otter. A lucky otter indeed. And though he's gone from us, Tim is in a better place. He'll be walking without a crutch now and swimming in heaven's waterways, and we shall see him again, my children, in time.
As you for tenderness and depth of feeling, you have shown me that no more need I see. Please take me home.
How truly awful.
Indeed. But the spirit did not take Scrooge home. Instead, they found themselves in a cemetery.
What is this? I thought we agreed you would take me home.
We did not.
This is the spot Bob spoke of. Is this why you brought me here? To see Tiny Tim's grave?
No. There.
Why? Whose grave is that?
Look.
Before I do, answer me one question. Are these the shadows of things that will be, or things that may be only?
Look.
A beast's actions portend certain ends. I understand that now. And I know that the fate of the unhappy animal we heard about might be my own. But if the actions be changed, surely the ends must change as well. Tell me this is true by what you show me.
The stone.
A misspent life can be made right. Ebenezer Scrooge. Spirit, hear me. I'm not the dog I was. I will honor Christmas in my heart and keep it always. I will live in the past, the present, and the future. The spirits of all three will strive within me. Only tell me that I may sponge away the writing on this stone. Why show me this if I am past all hope?
And at that moment, it was as if the ground had opened up to swallow Scrooge. The next thing he knew, he was in a cold, dark, empty chamber.
Where am I? It's so cold. It's freezing. I smell someone. Who's there?
Welcome home, Ebenezer.
Jacob, you wonderful old ghost of a badger. I'm truly home.
Not as you might have expected.
I can see a little better now. Are those bars? Where am I, Jacob?
Welcome to eternity, Scrooge. You lucked out, it seems. Most of the cells were ridiculously hot. Yours is as cold as your heart was. But then, you have plenty of garments to keep you warm.
Garments? What garments?
Don't you remember what I told you about your chains?
What?
No!
Get them off! Get them off! They're crushing me! They're crushing me, Jacob! I can't breathe!
I told you not to waste your chance, Bruce. I warned you, but you didn't change. You were cruel to Bob Cratchit. You let Tiny Tim die. You did not listen to the Lamb Scrooge.
No! I'll change! I swear I'll change! I'll listen to the Lamb
Scrooge! The chains. They're gone. I'm back in my bedroom. Oh my! I'm alive! My bed curtains, they're still here! I'm still here! At least I think I'm still here. Let's see. Ears, nose, paws, tail. Yes, I'm alive! And I have a chance to change. Oh, Jacob! Spirit and Lamb, yes! Christ, Lamb, I swear to you that I will follow you and do all you say. I will keep Christmas in my heart every day. I will be kind and benevolent and forbearing. Oh, I will be. Oh, my. I don't know what to do. I'm as happy as a puppy. I'm as merry as an angel. I'm as giddy as a drunken dog. I feel that I simply must stand on my head. Whee! Oh, what day is it?
Hardly stopping to regain his composure, Scrooge ran to the window and threw it open, completely ignoring the snow.
You there! I say, you there, donkey!
Who, me, sir?
Yes, you, my boy! What day is it?
Sir?
What day is today, my fine fellow?
It's Christmas Day, sir.
Christmas Day! I haven't missed it! The spirits did it all in one night! Of course they did, the spirits. They can do anything they like. I say, donkey!
Yes, sir?
Do you know the fishmonger in the next street but one?
I should hope I did.
What a bright boy. Remarkable boy. Do you know if they still have the prize marlin hanging in the window?
The one as big as me?
Excellent lad. Wonderful to talk to. Yes, the one as big as you. Go and buy it for me.
Yeah, right.
Buy it for me and I'll give you a shilling. No, 2 shillings. Have it back here in 10 minutes and I'll give you 0.5 crown.
Will do.
Oh, so much time, so little to do. Wait. Oh, I know what I mean. The maid. You there. Wait, hold up there. Will you stop, please?
Don't hurt me. I didn't do anything.
No, no. I want to give you something. Look, here's 0.5 crown so you can buy yourself something nice for Christmas. No, a whole crown.
You can help me.
And here's a crown you can give to the laundress when you see her. And one for the undertaker.
Undertaker?
It's Christmas for carrion birds too, isn't it?
You are right.
Oh no, my dear pussycat. For once I am thinking clearly. For once in my life I can see. You are right, my dear. It's better to be a little more natural in my lifetime than to wait until I'm dead and have my bed curtains stolen.
What are you on about? I never said nothing like that.
And with any luck, you never will. Oh, heaven and Christmas time be praised. Oh, but I must get dressed. The fishmonger will be here any moment. Here, hang this up, will you? And have the rest of the day off.
Gah! Mr. Scrooge, have you no pride?
Pride, my dear cat? Pride is the last thing I want in my life. I say, could you give me a paw? It's hard to get my breeches on when I can't stop wagging my tail.
You're behaving like a kitten, Mr. Scrooge.
I'll wager you'll take a kitten over the snarling mongrel I used to be.
All right, hold still, you get your fur caught in your trousers.
Hello, everyone. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas, hello, and good morning. Oh, say there, Mr. Pinfeather, Mr. Fuzz.
Mr. Scrooge.
Yes, that is my name. I fear it is not pleasant to you, and understandably so. Please allow me to make up for my abominable behavior yesterday with a donation of... 1,000 pounds.
Mr. Scrooge! Why, that's...
Thank you, sir. Oh, Lord bless you, sir.
Oh, it's not so much. There are a great many back payments included in that, I assure you. Oh, by the way, there's a family of cats living under the bridge about 5 streets that way. Make sure they get some of that, would you?
Absolutely.
This is so generous. I only wish we could adequately thank you.
Here, take my scarf. You look as though you could use one.
A present. For me.
For you.
Thank you. Thank you, 1,000 times thank you.
Sir, there you are. I brought the fishmonger. He thinks I'm trying to prank him.
No prank. Thank you so much for your time, sir. I'd like the marlin delivered to Mr. Bob Cratchit the Otter. Here's the address. Don't tell him where it came from. It is vital that I remain anonymous. Here's the money for the fish, and half again for your trouble.
Thank you, sir.
Now then, donkey.
Yes, sir.
Oh, no need for that, sir. Nonsense. Call me Ebenezer.
Okay, Ebenezer.
Would you like to earn a little more?
Sure, Gov. What do you need me to do?
Help me find the shops that are open on Christmas. I have a great deal of shopping to do.
After he bought a gaggle of presents and had most of them delivered, Scrooge turned up at the home of his nephew, Fred.
Fred? Fred, we have a visitor.
Uncle Scrooge?
Good afternoon, my dear nephew, and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas? I thought you said Christmas was a humbug.
I did say that, didn't I? I said many things, some pretty awful. The things I told you, those were the humbug. My dear nephew, I've been a fool. Can you forgive me?
Of course I can. Oh, Uncle.
Now, the reason I've come is threefold. The first was to beg your forgiveness. The second is to find out if your invitation to dinner still stands.
Of course it does.
The third is to meet your wife. I dare say I had not imagined such a lovely fennec as my niece-in-law.
Why, thank you.
Why, Fred.
Yes, Uncle?
You know, I hadn't noticed before, but you look a great deal like your mother. Do you know much about your mother?
Not a great deal. She died when I was born.
Then I have much to tell you about a wonderful woman. Oh, by the way, do you like games?
Of course.
Do you like similes?
It's one of our favorite.
If you ever get the simile tight as, the answer is a drum.
So it is.
So what happened to Bob Cratchit?
Oh, that's the best part. The next morning, Scrooge got to his office early, hoping desperately to catch Bob coming in late. He got his wish. It was 15 past when the otter came through the door, rushing in as if to overtake the clock.
Cratchit!
Mr. Scrooge?
You're late, Bob Cratchit.
I am behind my time, sir. I was making rather merry with my family yesterday. Someone sent us this enormous marlin, and then later this enormous bag of toys. Even a slide. It was...
Cratchit.
It won't happen again, sir.
Of that we can be sure. I've had enough of this. I shan't stand for it any longer.
But, sir...
You leave me no choice.
You can't!
But to raise your salary!
Mr. Scrooge, I... What?
Yes, Bob. Raise your salary and pay the mortgage on your house.
Are you feeling quite yourself, sir?
No, Bob, I'm not myself. And it's wonderful. I'm not myself at all. Not the greedy, wrenching, grasping, scraping, clutching, covetous old sinner I used to be. I've had an incredible experience, Bob, one that is scarcely to be believed. And I finally see how awfully I've been treating you, Bob. Will you allow me to make it up to you and your family?
Of course. Oh, Mr. Scrooge.
Ebenezer. Call me Ebenezer. We're going to do things right from now on, and you'll be sending your Tim off to get the finest medical treatment money can buy. He will get better, Bob. I swear it.
Oh, thank you, sir.
Now, put another shovel of coal on the fire, Bob, and do it before you dot another I.
Yes, sir!
No, wait. Use these.
Foreclosure notices?
It's Christmas time, Bob. We can't foreclose on anyone at Christmas time, now can we? And make sure you start with Mr. Chippet's birdhouse. He needs that birdhouse, you know. His wife's lungs aren't right.
Yes, sir.
Oh, my. I don't deserve to be so happy. But I can't help it.
Scrooge was as good as his word, and better. He kept Christmas in his heart all the year, and was the kindest, most wonderful dog the old city ever knew.
And what of Tiny Tim?
To Tiny Tim, who did not die, Scrooge became a second father. In fact, Tiny Tim isn't quite so tiny anymore. He lives in a burrow outside London, and is entertaining visitors tonight.
You mean you?
And here comes my second visitor of the night. Uncle Scrooge!
Timothy, my dear lad. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Uncle. I've just been telling my friend here your story.
Most incredible story, to be sure.
And all of it true.
You don't talk to spirits anymore, do you?
Heavens no. I've lived on the total abstinence principle since that day.
We seem to have run out of cider. I'll go prepare some more before the others arrive. Oh, I see my good friend the widow is about to arrive. Would you show her in and make her comfortable, Uncle?
Of course, my lad.
Ebenezer!
Why? Tempus? Is that you, Spirit?
Oh, you remember.
How can I forget you?
Croia and Merkor are here with me.
We bring you a gift, which will arrive upon our departure. Will you receive it?
Well, yes, of course I will.
We must go now. There is much work for us to do. An African dictator has outlawed Christmas in his country.
Best of luck with that. And Merry Christmas! Goodbye!
Ebenezer?
Hello, I say, Belle, is that you? You're Tim's widow friend?
I had heard some stories about your change of heart. Are they true?
Most of them. There is one bit that hasn't changed.
Oh?
There's a certain young female I've always loved. That never really changed. Perhaps you know her. We met at Fezziwig's Christmas party one year.
Yes, all ends happily. And so, as a certain tiny otter once observed, God bless us, everyone.
You have been listening to A Furry Christmas Carol. This has been a production of the Riverside Players and has starred Benny Brownpaws, John Krupp, Wanderer Wolf, Ashen Fox, Caninus O'Farrell, Ella Duve, Felice Fulmer, Whale Trainer, Phyllis Ferry, Martin Billany, Wolf4JC, and Orrin Otter. The story was based on A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens. It has been broadcast on the Otter Tunes Shoutcast Radio Network.